I saw a follow one day from this design firm that I'd never heard of called the Heartland Group, and started digging into the work that you've done. I was actually surprised at how I didn't know of you guys prior, just because of the work you've done, whether it's with the MLS, the Knicks, or any of the kind of the basketball side, and then the WNBA. And I was like, Ty, who is our commissioner, we need to work with them and find a capacity in which we can partner together. And yeah, so glad I got that follow. I don't know if it was by mistake or on purpose, but it's worked out well.
We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballow.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We Need to Be Doing That is a Heartland Group production.
Come on. We need to be doing that.
Today, we have a special guest and also a person we've worked closely with over the past, I guess, year now, we can say, Katie Gardner, who is the Vice President of Business Strategy and Marketing for the Premier Hockey Federation. Heartland Group has been part of a couple of their, tentpole events and creating content with PHF, and it's just been a blast. There's a reoccurring theme on this podcast and a lot of times when we talk of connections made through social media. And, you know, I know a lot of people say there are real negative issues and problems with social media, but man, the positive things of being able to meet great people to work with and collaborate on great projects. I mean, that's how you found us, right? I mean, that's the power of social media, right, Katie?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me on, you guys. Definitely. I saw a follow one day from this design firm that I'd never heard of called the Heartland Group, and started digging into the work that you've done. I was actually surprised at how I didn't know of you guys prior, just because of the work you've done, whether it's with the MLS, the Knicks, or any of the kind of the basketball side, and then the WNBA. And I was like, Ty, who is our commissioner, we need to work with them and find a capacity in which we can partner together. And yeah, I'm so glad I got that follow. I don't know if it was by mistake or on purpose, but it's worked out well.
Yeah, it's so exciting when we get that message. And, you know, that's just been so fun about having our company, Heartland Group, and waking up every morning and kind of not knowing what's going to happen, what message you're going to get, and what direction you're going to go. But PHF has a great history and has started a women's league that has gained in popularity and a lot of steam that we've seen over the past couple of years. But I think one of the more important things about this women's hockey league is the name change. And I know that is something that you've been close to, you know, with the commissioner of the league, try to establish a new precedent, right? And so why don't you tell us the decision to change the name and what went behind that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it even dates back towards the end of season six, you know, thinking about our goals of mass awareness and exposure. How can we really elevate the league and have it be known for all the skill and the incredible talent that we're seeing on the ice every single game. And so when we think about sport and think about, you know, a number of different factors from the inclusion side of it, we know that the changing nature of athletes are not necessarily identify first and foremost as women. So we want to make sure that when we're thinking about the product, that we're inclusive of all the athletes who have played in the league or are potentially going to. So calling it a women's league might not necessarily resonate with some of the top talent that we want to have in the league or even our fan base. And so I think we can still celebrate an athlete's gender without having the gender within the title of the league name. It's not the National Men's Basketball Association or the National Men's Hockey League. So I think that was really the impetus for it, is turning the focus of the conversation onto the athletes themselves and what they are performing on the ice and how they are just the top, you know, professional hockey players in the world, regardless of gender, and just really trying to grow our brand from there. We actually weren't going to be the PHF, but thinking of other names. And then that one, just as we were kind of in the process of doing some kind of focus groups, whether it's with hockey athletes within the league or, you know, sport professionals. That was what ended up coming about. But I can't share what they were, but there were some other names on the table.
Yeah, it's a really powerful thing for anyone that hadn't heard of you all beforehand, that you're the first league to drop the W and women's from the title, because you're right. We don't call it the National Men's Basketball Association. So commend all the courage, and I'm certain all the time and back and forth that went into names. We had a name prior to Heartlink Group that we didn't like enough until we saw the logo of it and said, no way. So we hear you.
Well, yeah. And I think it's interesting because a lot of the top brands, whether Amazon, Nike, they all had different names prior to becoming the brand that we know today. So a whole rebrand, whether it's a refresh of a logo or a name, isn't foreign. It's when you think about a brand, it's how do you want to position yourself today and in the long run? Like, what is going to resonate? And so I think that's something people, we might have taken them slightly aback by that, by the name change, but it's, you know, coming from a marketing background, it, to me, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, just like similar to Facebook is now Meta. Like, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to call Facebook Meta, but it's not dissimilar across any facet of business to see kind of a rebrand as a, you know, a brand is starting to really hone in on its identity.
And six current teams in market, there's discussion, I think it's public discussion, that there's expansion teams. Can you share a little light on when that might happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, we have formally announced Montreal as the next expansion market. I believe they are slated to join season 8. So they'll be our seventh team in season 8. And then I know there are ongoing conversations for additional expansion in the United States as well. So the league is definitely looking to grow, you know, across, you know, both Canada as well as the U.S. into some of those top hockey markets.
So when you have a league like this, and there's opportunities, you know, probably to do some things that the bigger leagues can't, and there's some things that you can't do that the bigger leagues can do, right? So looking at sort of the positive aspects of it and trial and error and some of the things that you can connect also with your audience a little bit closer, I would imagine. What are some of the things, like if there's some fans out there who are just now hearing about PHF, why would they be interested in this league? What is the entertainment value? What can they get out of it beyond just obviously the great hockey experience?
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said entertainment value. Obviously, we want to be showcasing the athletes and the talent they have. But, you know, Ty and my motto is we want people to come for the party and then stay for the game. So thinking about ways where we can really push the envelope, whether it's last season with, you know, painting our neutral zone purple, or, you know, having, I think at the All-Star game, we had a balloon artist like making, who's award winning. So anything we can do that's a little bit unique and different to, you know, connect the fans with the sport. I know hockey tends to be, you know, have more barriers to entry. It's a complicated game. It's not a game that a lot of people have access to. So if there's any way that we can, you know, take a step back and make it more welcoming and, you know, showcase different sides of the game or ways that fans can connect and have fun, that is, you know, our objective. So right now have some really fun things up our sleeve for the Isabel Cup playoffs that are happening in Tampa. So I can't wait to see what we come up with. To your point, because we are smaller, we have the ability to, you know, try things and, you know, not necessarily fail, but, you know, pivot quickly.
And did you play? How did hockey enter your life?
Yeah. So, I mean, I did play. I, you know, have an older brother who's 2 years older than me. And, you know, growing up, much to his like chagrin, I wanted to do everything that he did and wear every single thing that he wore. So everything from airwalks to like the same like outfits he had. So he probably hated it, you know, having his little sister just imitate everything he did. But he started playing a couple of years before I did. And then I was like, for the 2 years until it took my parents convincing, just asking them every day to play hockey. And then obviously I grew up with the Mighty Ducks, which is one of the best sports movies of all time. So that was really kind of how I got my start.
I was just going to say, shout out Airwalks. I haven't heard that in so long and honestly forgot all about them. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like had some family members who actually played hockey. And though I went to BC, my uncle's in the BU Hockey Hall of Fame. And so it sort of runs in our blood.
You know, hockey is, it's so interesting. I grew up in Colorado and they didn't have a pro team, right? And the college scene though was awesome. You know, a lot of the college, the schools in Colorado had really strong following. You know, going to the games were a blast. And then, you know, the Avalanche come in from Quebec and we win two cups. I did the wee thing. Shouldn't do the wee thing. They won the two cups. I didn't do anything. Yeah, I did the traditional media thing. So the two, you know, those teams won two cups. And I just, the experience, and then listen, I've covered all sports. I wouldn't say hockey's my favorite sport because I didn't really grow up playing it. But I would be hard-pressed to find a better experience at a live sporting event than a playoff hockey game. And it's just, it's kind of interesting now, the NHL back on Turner and ESPN. And there seems to be a little bit of a renaissance happening in hockey as a whole. Do you see that as well? Or do you see hockey maybe shifting back into more of the big three, four sports?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's really interesting because even from like a participation level, it's relatively flat to steady incremental growth for players who are playing. However, the fan exposure of the NHL and hockey in general is definitely growing exponentially. I think you see that starting kind of at that, not necessarily grassroots level, but to your point, a lot of college hockey programs have been growing and maybe in non-traditional markets. You see Arizona State with a great program. Some of the smaller schools previously that didn't have hockey programs that I think are kind of fueling that growth, like Robert Morris and others. So I think that has really helped catapult hockey to the forefront. And like once you're able to kind of have that little bit of barrier of entry kind of ameliorated in terms of being able to access, that helps grow the sport on the whole and at that higher level where you have more fans tuning in. I think the partnership with TNT or Turner rather and ESPN is only going to help grow the game too. You're now partnering with the largest sports network. We see it from a league level as well, just being part of the ESPN family of just having that opportunity to get into sports fans. And then you have that whole other macro side of, you know, the last 2 years where you just see sport ratings are up exponentially across the board. So I think that is just trend line is helping hockey's growth as well.
Also, what's interesting about PHF is following your social media accounts and how engaged your audience is. I mean, it really is. I mean, it outdoes a lot of the other major sports teams. It's just, and that is cool to see because I think people get lost sometimes in numbers, like actual mass numbers, the total, as opposed to the engaged audience, even if it's a bit smaller. That audience is like, as soon as a post is up, they're in there, they're making comments, they're reacting, which is great because we're trying to create content with you guys as well. So how have you seen social media sort of help put a little bit of a jetpack to PHF and fuel the growth and the interest in and really the audience that exists within that sphere?
Yeah, I mean, it's played a huge role. And I think it kind of goes back to resources where, you know, when you are in somewhat of a startup, you don't have the same dollars available. So you're really focused on your own channels, which social media plays a massive role of being able to tell your brand story and help grow it organically. So in that sense where, you know, we're just leaning hard into the digital side of things and we can have fun and we don't have to be taking ourselves so seriously, which I think a lot of fans can relate to. You know, we had our virtual mascot contest, and which has led to the creation of Goalie Tender. We had a pet draft because who doesn't love pets and like fantasy football type drafts? So the natural partnership between social and our league is just definitely a really strong relationship. And then it also kind of feeds into our digital streaming presence.
We got an exciting event coming up, no pun intended, premier event of the season, I would say, the Isabel Cup. So tell us a little bit about the event and what you think is going to be in store for fans for this year.
Oh, yeah. Great lead in. It's definitely going to be premier. So the 2022 Isabel Cup playoffs, they are heading to Tampa. And it's going to be quite an exciting time at the end of March. Tickets, hopefully by the time this is live, should be available. And we're actually doing free admission because we're really looking to grow the game. So if you are in the Tampa area, it is 3 days of exciting matchups. In terms of what we have in store, oh my goodness, I want to share some of the stuff, but I can't because, that's how I'm sworn under secrecy. But I think if anyone saw the purple neutral zone or any of the entertainment value that we had at our past All-Star game, that Ty is really the commissioner of fun and looking to push the envelope. We're going to have some killer intermission content between games, everything from what you're expecting to see between youth games as well as some special things up our sleeve. It's going to be a party. So it's definitely going to, I'm trying to see what other we can really bring the beach and the sand into the rink itself. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
And also on ESPN2, right? So people who cannot make it out to Tampa will be able to check it out on the linear cable television.
Yeah, absolutely. So our, the preliminary round as well as the semis are going to be on ESPN+, but the championship is going to be Monday, March 28th at 9 p.m. on ESPN2. So this is the first time in history that a women's professional ice hockey league is going to be raising their cup on ESPN. So we're so incredibly excited to showcase what these talented athletes have been doing all season long, as well as the past 70 years. So it's quite a moment for these players.
And I've heard through the grapevine that there's an amazing logo this year for the Isabel Cup. Is that true? I'm not sure if that's true or not.
We've already actually been, asked to just win like a Kane Award for it or go to Cannes. It's that good. So yeah, that we're so excited to partner with the Heartland Group once again on the logo. And, similar to all the other work you've done, there's a lot of, symbolism and a lot of different, aspects to it. So it's more than a logo. It's really an experience. So excited for everyone to see that.
All right. Well, where can people out there find you on social media if you want to give out your handles?
Sure. I'm on the Twitterverse at Gardner_Katie. Same with Instagram. Definitely follow the PHF, first of all. So at PHF on Twitter and at Premier Hockey Federation on the Facing Book and still NWHL.zone on Instagram. So if anybody knows somebody who can help us get that changed, it's been the bane of my existence for the last 6 months.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit weneedtobedoingthat.com for more episodes and contact information.